Having crossed the appointed hour, I'll call the March meeting of the Revenue Estimating Conference to order. Can we have the a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion is carried. Well, first of all, I want to now welcome everybody to the Revenue Estimating Conference. Just a reminder that the conference is required to meet at least three times a year. The three members are representative of the Legislative Service Agency, which is Holly Lyons, and the executive branch is the governor's appointee, which is myself, Dave Roeder, with the Department of Management. And then our mutually agreed upon consensus builder is David Underwood. So thank you both for attending. You may also recall that the governor is required to submit his budget using the December estimate, which is the last time the Revenue Estimating Conference met. And the legislature is to use the lower of the two of December or March. So if the March estimate is lower than what we estimated in December, then the legislature is to use that lesser amount. So today what we're going to do is go over the current fiscal year, FY14, to see what changes, if any, we will make there, and then also any changes that may occur in for FY15. Reminder that we independently arrive at our estimates, and then we come together in a meeting like this to go through those. So I think what we'll start now go to comments from the members, starting out with Ms. Lyons, and then go to Mr. Underwood, and then myself, if that's okay.
Thank you, Dave. Since our last meeting in December, the indicators show that the overall U.S. economy is continuing to advance at a very modest pace. The U.S. has enjoyed more than 3 years of uninterrupted economic growth and falling unemployment since the recession ended. It's just been a fairly weak rebound, with growth in GDP averaging 2.25% since the recovery began. After finishing the year slightly lower than expected, real GDP growth is now forecast by Moody's to be 3.1% in 2014 and 4.0% in 2015. That's up slightly from when we met in December. There was positive momentum at the end of 2013 that contributed to an improved U.S. economic outlook. 2014 got off to a slow start that most attribute to the severe winter weather across the nation, but hopefully that's a temporary drag, and with the advent of spring, especially today, we hope that will turn around. Unemployment numbers are dropping. Most businesses are profitable, household debt is low, and there is less federal government uncertainty, no threats of a government shutdown. New home starts and existing house sales continue to increase, and there are some signs of acceleration in wages. Nothing suggests a pessimistic forecast, and some of the serious headwinds that the nation faced last year at this time are more like stiff breezes, but still significant, such as consumers remain cautious about spending and businesses remain cautious about hiring, investment, and expansion. Federal monetary policy and inflation is a concern. The Fed has been accommodative in its quantitative easing program, and with its recent decisions to begin tapering the program. If inflation stays too low, wage and economic growth suffers, but if it's too high, it undermines the housing market, equity prices, and weighs on consumer demand. Global uncertainty is a concern, including but not limited to the slowdown in China's economy, the Ukraine, Crimea, Russia situation, and political unrest in emerging markets. In Iowa, most economic indicators remain positive. The unemployment rate was up slightly in January, primarily due to benchmarking, but the number of new unemployment claims is decreasing, which is a positive sign. The Department of Revenue's Iowa Leading Indicator Index was released yesterday, increasing for the fourth consecutive month, but this time only slightly, with five of the eight components experiencing positive changes. The housing sector continues to recover in Iowa. The Iowa Business Council Index survey indicates that 95% of businesses surveyed expect steady or increased capital spending. 85% expect increased or steady employment, yet a little surprisingly, members remain cautious about economic growth. In addition to consumer and business confidence, some other issues to keep an eye on. Iowa farm income is down 16% this year due to a drop in commodity prices, and the impact of that is likely to be felt in other sectors of the Iowa economy this year and next year. Employment is up, but withholding tax receipts are not up in a corresponding manner. Wage and salary income is holding up at just under 4% annual growth. In a normal good growth year, we'd like to see that rate more like 5.5% to 6.5%. So turning to our estimates, as you can see by the two estimates, very little seems to have changed since December. We're remarkably close to the governor's appointee numbers, and we're just looking at differences of 0.2% in 1 year and less than 0.1% in the next. For fiscal year 2014, there are still several negatives to state revenue that have not fully worked themselves through the system, such as the $120 million of cigarette and tobacco tax that will no longer be deposited in the general fund, the increase in the earned income tax credit, the Social Security pension tax phase-out, and the new taxpayer trust fund tax credit. In addition, we believe the farm tax return money arriving at its proper time this year makes fiscal year 2014 look better than it really is when comparing year-to-date figures. The full impact of last year's federal tax changes still can't be assessed and could be a surprise negative. And finally, corporate tax receipts are coming in higher than expected, but withholding deposits are not as strong. Hence, we're sticking very close to the December estimate, increasing it by $5 million to $6.687 billion. Fiscal year 2015 continues to look like a more normal growth year, and the LSA estimate is just $1.3 million more than the December REC estimate.
Very good. Thank you, Holly. David?
That's a great summary of what we have seen and what we continue to see happening. But the only thing that I would like to add is some of the numbers I've seen recently on the impact of lower commodity prices to our corn and soybean farmers. I was quite surprised by how large those numbers actually are. A report just from earlier this week was millions, and I'm talking not just two or three, it's $15 to $20 million impact just in Cerro Gordo County alone on reduced revenue for the crop farmers. So you multiply that across Iowa, that's a tremendous amount of cash that farming group that had those kinds of revenues the last couple of years is not going to have. And the discussion then went into, okay, what's that going to do to cash rents? What's that going to do to the landlords? How many farmers are going to survive this? Will there be a shakeout? There were some predictions that we would see 5 to 10% of the farmers not be able to continue farming if crop prices stay the way they are and there aren't major adjustments to rent. So they were focusing primarily on those that are renting farm ground or those that have large mortgages and debt with their farm. So that's somewhat offset by lower feed costs for the hog farmers, the chicken industry, cattle feeders. But also then we see the lowest stock of cattle on feed in a long time. We have the virus in the hog industry now that is going to tighten supplies. On the way down, there was a report on the radio that we're looking at 5 to 6% reduced numbers in the hog industry this year. So where does that ripple stop? I'm sure that some of the people that make those big green tractors in Waterloo are going to feel that a little bit. I would imagine that in the grocery store we're going to see higher prices, which means less disposable income, which potentially means less sales tax collected by the state. So that ripple effect throughout industry in Iowa, I think, is difficult at this point in time to really put hard numbers on. But I think we've got that built into the numbers that I've seen fairly well. So pretty comfortable with no significant changes here.
For those of you who may have come in a little late, if you think you entered into the optimistic society, you got the wrong place. Seriously, I think that that Ms. Lyons and Mr. Underwood laid it out very well. We're obviously making a comparison where we were in December. Internationally, there's always issues. It seems like every time we get together, somebody does something right before we after we finish our estimates, and then something occurs, and you begin to kind of rethink that. I think that, as Holly pointed out, that the tensions with Russia in the Ukraine area is a question mark. I don't think we know for sure what is going to take place there, but historically what we do know is that when there has been some tensions over there, that it does affect the flow of oil, and that usually what happens is that the price of oil starts going up. What has changed, though, from the last time they had a similar situation is that the U.S. was producing a lot less of our own fuel than we are now. So I think that is somewhat of a mitigating factor. I think the key will be what the Saudi Arabians do. That will be if they increase, which they have in the past, if they increase the flow because of that, that will also curtail some of the concerns. The China tightening of their economy, I believe, is something that we need to keep a close eye on. That is going to have an impact throughout the United States, but also throughout the world. From the United States, as we look at it, if there is such a way of looking at just a one country anymore with such a international market and global economy, that the economy is starting to move forward in the United States, but not at the pace that I think that anybody would feel real comfortable with. Job growth is still pretty stagnant, and I think that is the largest concern that is facing the U.S. economy. Consumer and businesses are, I think their sentiment is still somewhat fragile. We have, I think, too many employers that are too reluctant to expand or to hire people. And until that sentiment changes, I think that we're wise to be cautious as to what is going to happen with the economy. As noted, Iowa's economy continues to move forward at what I would call a steady pace, not a rapid pace, but not an anemic pace either. As Ms. Lyons pointed out, our leading indicators for the most part are mostly positive. We do have corporate strength, as she indicated, with the revenues that are coming in. But once again, I think that caution is still the right word to describe the direction we're going. As Mr. Underwood pointed out, as did Ms. Lyons, on the agricultural sector, to kind of put it in perspective, a year ago February, corn price, the price for a bushel of corn is down 40%. And in soybeans, not quite as dramatic, it's 7%. End of the world? Obviously not. But at least it's a cautionary note that we should keep a close eye on. I also noticed that beer tax was down a little, but that could be turned around if the three teams that we have, both women and Iowa and Iowa State, do well in the NCAA tournament and the Cyclones do well, then that may reverse that trend just a little bit. Okay, let's go to the numbers. If you would all take out the number sheet that you have in front of you, and just kind of try to put this a little bit in perspective, you'll see that for the most part the page has a large box around it, and it's divided into three categories. The first grouping is the December estimate that we used, and then the next grouping in the middle is legislative service agencies estimates, and then the third column is the governor's appointee estimates, and then the last two columns are the differences between the LSA estimate and the governor's estimate. If it's a negative number, that means that LSA estimate is higher than what the governor's estimate is, okay? And as Ms. Lyons pointed out that while in one hand you may look at it where it says net receipts plus transfer, and you'll see clear to the right that there's a $14 million difference one year, and the next year $3.5 million difference. Folks, we're talking about less than a penny on the dollar here. So the estimates are quite close, and I personally would not want to be in a position of saying that one's necessarily right and the other one's necessarily wrong when you look at all the components that we look at. So I say to the rest of my committee members, what's your pleasure?
I would be comfortable moving the LSA numbers. I'd be interested in comments on that.
Okay, it's been moved to accept the LSA numbers. David?
Just so we can continue discussion, I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded, and let's have some discussion.
I think we have a precedent-setting results here. I've never seen where we've split the difference before of our previous estimate, this close, one above, one right below. So, you know, the worst case scenario, we're talking about a tenth of a percent on the total estimate. You know, I'm wondering why we bothered to change our estimate at all. I'm looking at the December estimates, and I mean, even if we split the difference, we're basically at our December estimate. So, that's kind of my approach, Ali, that I thought maybe we just stick with our December estimate.
I was afraid you were going to say you wondered why you drove all the way down here, but go ahead.
It's a beautiful spring day, what can I say?
David, I agree with you, and we discussed this. The only drawback to accepting the REC estimate is when we go back and we try to make comparisons, because we've changed our refund numbers considerably. So when we try to compare what we decide today, if we use those old numbers, it's just going to make the comparison a little bit off. I agree with the bottom line, if we could just go with the bottom line, but then somehow figure out how to distribute a more accurate refund number based on today. I mean, based on what we're looking at today, because both DOM and LSA have changed that refund number somewhat significantly, I think $50 million.
Correct.
And we try to chart refunds. I mean, refunds is one of those black boxes that you really just don't know, but we do try to track it to see if we can get any kind of analysis. But that would be my only concern. I'm fine with the bottom line number if there would just be some way we could redistribute it. I don't know.
David, any comments?
Yeah, I guess I don't have a problem with that. What's your difference is $5 million. Let's see, you could increase your refund by estimate by $5 million or reduce your personal income tax, one of those two.
Yeah. Those of you who are still trying to figure this chart out, you'll see that and I may not have this completely accurate, but the major differences, not major differences, but where there's been some change a little, has been on personal income and sales and use, and that is the for the most part of where we get our receipts for the state. But if you'll go down to the shaded line where it says gross tax receipt and other receipts right below that, we're talking about the refund. I want to make sure I got the right. Yeah, and that's where we're having our discussion right now.
Would you accept a substitute motion that would change our refund number in 14 by that $5 million and change our refund number by $1.3 million in that? Is that gonna? I think that's gonna work. I'm just wondering if we.
That would be fine with
me. Yeah, that should do it, actually.
Okay, it's the substitute motion has been made, and I believe it has been seconded or accepted by the seconder. Let's just leave it that way. Seconded. All in favor of the substitute motion? Do you folks have that down? Right. Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Okay, the motion carries. Jeff and Joel, do you have that recalculated on there then?
Yes.
Good answer. Thank you.
Did
you go ahead. Thank you. Any other comments, suggestions on 14? Okay. We move on to 15.
We
did do 15. You're right. I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm good with that. As long as we have it for the record that, yeah. That we did both. I didn't want to do it separately. Okay, that takes us down to the gaming revenues.
Okay. Since we have slightly revised numbers you both agree on, I would move your revised numbers for the estimated gambling revenues.
It's been moved and seconded to use the revised gaming revenues. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. The motion carries.
Interest earned on reserve funds, since you agree on those numbers, I will move your numbers revised.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded on the interest earned on reserve funds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. That motion carries as well. Any other business? Not. Again, want to thank LSA and Jeff Robinson and Holly and her staff and Amy Harrison, Department of Revenue and their staff, and Joel Lundy and of our staff, and Tammy, who hopefully has got the recorder working and got the notes taken place. If there's no other business, I will deem that we have adjourned.